Turn with me in your Bibles to Ezra, book of Ezra, chapter number 9. You should recognize at least one verse out of this. Ezra chapter number 9, verse number 1 says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass.' When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, plucked off my hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the Lord, of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." Dear Heavenly Father, O God, as we come before You today, Lord, as we study Your Word, open Your Word to us. God, for myself, that You'll empty me of self. Lord, that I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, that what is said and done will give You the honor and glory and praise. Lord, most of all, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, that see You high and lifted up today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In this passage here, you go, this is different than what I normally preach, but as I was looking last night and trying to find a memory verse that had anything to do with Leftover Sunday that I could think of, I had Darlene looking in the concordance, and Leftover Sunday wasn't in it. But we went with a remnant. As we look at this passage, we understand that the children of Israel have sinned against God, and they've done things, and they've partaken of the abominations of the land, the people that were there. Here, and specifically, Ezra is talking about the fact that they've actually taken and they're unequally yoked. Well, Pastor, why are you preaching on being unequally yoked? Because I believe, and even as today, as Christians, too many times we're unequally yoked with the world. That we have taken and we've applied stuff, and we've taken the land and said, "Well, this is okay for me. This is good for me." And as this country is facing more and more struggles and more things are coming, and there's numerous reports of the possibility of terrorist activity in our country, and we wonder, well, what is going on? And Ezra is approaching this problem not from the standpoint of, "Oh, hey, look, this is happening. We better correct it before we are punished." He's dealing with it after the fact. Ezra's with the people that remain, the people that are left behind after God has punished them for their sin. We see two different times in this passage that Ezra was astonished. He was amazed. He was in wonder over the condition of the people. But not only that, I believe he was amazed. He was in wonder over the fact that they thought, "This is okay. This is all right in our lives. This is something that you know, it's not that big a deal." In verse number 5, he says he arose from his heaviness, from his affliction. And as we consider those two words, as we go on in the process, as we go on in this passage, and as we look and see what the man of God did. Well, Pastor, you're the one that's in the position of Ezra right here. In that day and time, you're right. But today, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He gives us the power to become the sons of God. We are priests. It's our responsibility. One of these days, as we saw in Revelation chapter number 20 this morning in adult Bible study, one of these days we're going to rule and reign with Him. And it's our responsibility. He's saying here that it's the people that were leading this charge. We look around us and we complain as Christians, oh, look at this, the awful condition that the world is in today. What is the problem? Why is everybody doing everything that they're doing? And we look, and Ezra says, the chief, the ones that were worst, the ones that led the charge in all of this, were the princes and the rulers. Paul says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. When we're looking around and we're complaining about the condition that the world is in, what condition are we in? Where are we at? Are we leading the charge and we're wondering why the world isn't keeping up? Sadly enough, oh no, there's things that are going on in the world that I would never do. There's things going on in our lives as Christians that God says, don't do that. In this passage, we see, first of all, our condition. In verse number 6, he says, and said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head. And our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Our trespasses grown up into heaven. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When we sow something, it is going to grow. Ezra says, hey, we've done wickedly and we've sown wickedly, and it has grown up into heaven. It is now before the throne of God, and God has dealt with it. Hey, the challenge with, if you've ever had a garden and you go out there and you plow the ground up and you get it all nice and it looks good, you water it, you go through and you make your rows, you plant your seeds, and that's all you have to do the rest of the time, right? Well, you water it every once in a while, it'll be okay. We act like that in our Christian lives, that we have this garden, and all we've ever done, God plowed the ground, and there's been some good seed planted, and that's the only thing that's going to ever spring up, and that'll be all right. And we forget the fact that we so many times go back in after God has planted good seed, and we sprinkle stuff that we ought not to do. And goat heads are growing in our garden. And tumbleweeds are growing in our garden. And dandelions are growing in our garden. And they're growing. And they're getting up in the face of God. And we wonder why America is dealing with the situations that they're dealing with. We wonder why America's facing the problems that they're facing. Oh, it's not because of the people that are in Washington. It's not because of the people that are in Santa Fe. It's not because of the people in the city hall. It's because we as Christians have been working in our garden and planting in our garden, and we're not sowing what we're supposed to be sowing. Verse number 10, we see the continuation of our condition. He says, and now, O our God, What shall we say after this? What shall we say? He answers his own question. For we have forsaken thy commandments. Our condition is such that as Christians, as what we around the world are called a Christian nation. But oh, we've fallen so far short of that. We look at the folks who have said, they've claimed the name of Christ. They say that, yes, I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Yes, I know where I'll go when I die. Yes, I'm confident of that very fact. Now leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. And Jesus broke down the commandments into only two, and then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This last Thursday, many of us sat around tables and ate dead bird and other stuff and that came out of can, whatever you ate, and we did all of this, and maybe you sat around the table and you said, you gave opportunity to say, hey, I'm thankful for this in my life, or I'm thankful for that in my life. God's sitting at the table going, wow. What shall we say after this? Verse number 15, he continues with the condition. He says, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. What we've planted has sprung up in the face of God, and God is a holy God that cannot behold sin. And yet we know, oh Lord, that's just, it's okay. That is, Lord, you promised that you'd give me the desires of my heart, and this is what I desire right now. But, oh Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. And at the end of the verse, he says, we cannot stand before thee because of this. We wonder as Christians why our problems so seem to increase and seem to ball up on us, and why everything seems to be happening. And we forget the fact that we serve a righteous God. We go to Dad and we go, hey, Dad, I know I haven't done my chores, and the homework will get done when I'm good and when I get ready to do it. It's all not that important and all of that, but Lord, you know, you need to loan me the car keys right now. When Dad looks at us like, really? We throw a temper tantrum and run back to our room and slam the door and throw our face on our pillow, and Dad is so mean to me. And as Christians, we forget that we serve a righteous God, we serve a holy God, and we stand before Him and go, hey, Lord, here's what I want today. I broke out a brand new list. And I need it all by 2 o'clock this afternoon. And He's looking at us going, really? And rather than running to the altar and falling on our knees and going, I'm so sorry, I failed you. I have sinned in your sight. We go running to the world going, you would not believe what those people at church say about what we're supposed to be doing. They just don't want us to have any fun at all. They just don't understand what it is like. That stuff is old-fashioned. It's not like that anymore. It's a new world today. I wonder how big our Bible would have been if Paul would have had texting, Skype, Twitter. So he could fix some of the problems right away rather than having to wait and send him a letter. We cannot stand before thee. So number two, we get to our position in verse number 8. It says, and now for a little space. Now for a little space. Do we understand that man's life is short and full of trouble? Do we understand that our life is but a vapor that is here for a moment and then vanisheth away? Do we understand that we are only given a certain amount of time on earth? We have the opportunity during our brief. Oh, I know people, and we do a Bible study where the median age is 93 years old, and they've lived a long time. But compared to eternity, how long is 100 years? Compared to eternity, how long's 200 years? If you were able to live as long as Methuselah did without committing suicide. How long is that compared to eternity? If you're here today and you go, well, this is what I want to do, and this is the way I see how I ought to be, and this is okay for me, and that's okay for you, but I'm doing what is right for me. And you've never fallen on your face before a holy God and said, I am a wicked sinner. And I am undeserving of heaven in my present condition, but oh, Jesus died on the cross for me and I accept that. Well, you've never done that. Wow, you've got just a little bit of time left. There's only a little space left. You ever considered the thought of, somebody ever said, oh, I'm between a rock and a hard place? That's pretty much where we are our entire life. And just a little space. Just a little time. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Just a little space. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now for a little space. He said, now for a little space, and he said, grace hath been shown from the Lord. The world is younger now than it was before Jesus died on the cross. The world has had less time since Jesus died on the cross than before He died on the cross. And yet, so many people are still dying and going to hell. Still rejecting. But all for a little space, He gave grace. And all He gave it to those of us as we studied in Revelation this morning that to the Gentile also. Oh, He opened up the door for us to have everlasting life, eternity in heaven. He opened that up for us, a little grace. He goes on and says, a nail in His holy place. Oh, you sat around the dinner table on Thursday afternoon. Did you say, I'm thankful for my church? Well, Pastor, I am, and that's just, I agree. But that's only part of it. He gave us grace, and He's put a nail in His holy place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Our position is under construction. Our place is under construction, and it's secure in Jesus. He's made it for us. He goes on and says that our God may lighten our eyes. That He'll lighten our eyes. Miss Jackie's not suffering from this as much anymore. But I have found the older I get, the more light I need to be able to read what's put in front of me. And as I continued to get older, because I haven't found an alternative, I found that